This morning we hear a parable from Luke's gospel that is unusual in several ways. It is unusual that it is bookended with an explanation of the parable's purpose. We are told that this story about a widow who seeks justice and a judge devoid of compassion is meant to teach us about prayer. The preface begins, Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray and to not lose heart. And while the protagonist of this story seems to be a persistent widow and her foil an unjust judge, at the very end of the parable, in an ending that seems more like a moral from an Aesop's fable than from a Lucan parable, a concise statement says, will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And so we are left at the end of this reading with a parable that seems to compare God with the antagonist of the story, a selfish, compassionless judge who grants justice slowly and only out of his own convenience. Which begs the question, is God like the unjust judge? Every fiber of my being tells me to say, no, God is nothing like this judge, who's described not once, but twice in four short verses as having no respect for God or care for the people. And yet, even in the midst of this exclamation, I also see a glimmer of something else, a glimmer of reality. Because the truth is, sometimes in my experience, God does feel like the judge in this parable. Sometimes faith, and most particularly prayer, can feel like throwing myself against an immovable wall again and again. And when I think of the cries of the victims of injustice all around our world, I imagine that these cries feel like the widow's pleas as well. When those who are sick cry out for healing, and it seems that there is no change. When citizens of war-torn nations cry out for peace, and all they see is violence. When we again and again witness bias based on race or sexual orientation or identity, it seems as though these injustices will plague us forever. When the poor struggle to make ends meet, it seems that they will struggle always. In truth, when we as humans pray, sometimes it does seem as though God will never deliver, as though God is without compassion, as though God does not hunger for the justice that we seek. And yet, in this morning's gospel, we see in the persistent widow one who seeks the justice that we seek, one who seeks justice that seems unlikely. And in this widow, a woman deemed by her society to be a vulnerable victim because she could not take care of herself, we see a tenacious faith that propels her again and again into the presence of the judge. I wonder what it was that gave that widow the strength to present her case again and again instead of simply going away in despair. Perhaps her conviction came from the justice that she somehow dared to hope for, because a vision of it had been cast in her somehow by her faith. After all, this Jewish woman would have known how her people had struggled for God's justice and mercy from generation to generation. She would have known that somehow God's vision for the world could indeed be made manifest. Was this the hope in God that brought her again and again before that judge? In the end, it's not a desire for justice or even compassion for the widow that leads the judge to grant her petition. It's simply another kind of injustice, selfish dispensing of the issue. In our reading, the judge says to himself, "I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And in the original language, this phrase is much more colorful. Comparing the widow to a boxer, the judge says to himself, "I will grant her justice so that she may not beat me down until she can give me a black eye." It's the exhaustion of the struggle that makes the judge grant the justice that the widow seeks. It seems that contact sports is the theme that links our first reading to our gospel today. We heard the penultimate chapter of the saga of Jacob, that consummate trickster who becomes the patriarch of the people of Israel. Jacob encamps on the Jabbok, sequestering himself from his wives and children and possessions on the way home to be reunited with his twin brother, Esau. It might be helpful to quickly reacquaint ourselves with the series of events that have brought Jacob to this lonely campsite. At birth, he had grabbed his elder brother's ankle in a kind of attempt to become the firstborn, earning his name, which means usurper. And then as a young man, Jacob tricked Esau into selling his birthright for a bowl of hot lentil stew one day after coming in from the fields. And just after that, Jacob tricked his elderly and blind father into giving him Esau's blessing before running away at his mother's behest to live with his uncle. And in his uncle, Jacob finds a match. Falling in love with one of his daughters, Jacob toils for 7 years to earn her hand and then is given another daughter instead. But eventually, Jacob is married to both of his uncle's daughters, Leah and Rachel, has 11 children, a large quantity of flocks, many possessions, and quite a lot of strife with his uncle. And so, fleeing in the night, he heads home to Esau. And on the night before he meets his brother, he encamps at the Jabbok. And it's on this night that Jacob encounters something. Is it God? Is it an angel? Is it simply another man? Under the shroud of darkness, Jacob wrestles with that being, and just before dawn, he tells his opponent, who he believes to be God, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Jacob refuses to let go because he knows what God has done before. He knows what God is capable of. He knows that God is the one who blesses. In order to end the fight, God breaks Jacob's hip and then gives him the blessing that he demands. And with the blessing, Jacob also receives a new name, Israel, which means he has striven, because Jacob has striven with God and human beings. This name, Israel, is a name taken not only by Jacob, but by all of his many descendants who become the chosen people of God. The ones whom God chose are the very ones who are named by this struggle, the ones who have striven, who have fought vigorously with God. Like Jacob, the children of God are those who know what God has done, who know what God is capable of, who demand that God be God and enact that blessing once again. At its heart, this is the story of the Hebrew Bible, in which in episode after episode, God's people remember again who God is and strive for God to give God's blessing. And this heritage of the struggle, inspired by God, is the heritage of the widow in this morning's gospel story. And that heritage is a part of her when she shows up in front of the judge again and again. At the very end of the parable, Jesus asks this: when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Beholding that woman in front of the judge, I believe the answer to this question is yes. Because it seems to me that in this morning's readings, the definition of faith is simply to continue to pray and to not lose heart. Faith is not about a measure of belief. It's not about a sense of peace or acceptance. It's not about joy or being content. Faith is for Jacob and the widow and for us to remember who God is and what God is capable of, to ask God to be God and enact God's blessings on earth. Faith is being involved in a life-altering struggle with God. As the dawn broke upon Jacob that morning, he was marked with the signs of his struggle with God. He limped because of that hip knocked out of the socket, and I like to think that he limped for the rest of his life. When the Son of Man comes, he will see us too, marked with the signs of the struggle, the triumphs over injustice, but also the failures, the heartbreaks, the ways our hearts and lives have been changed by our convictions of what God is capable of. In your struggle of faith, may God bless you this week and always. Amen.